ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। The other evening, just when we finished our talk, then Vivek, this house owner, he asked to sing a kirtan. Remember that? And he sung, mostly from memory it seems, a kirtan in glorification of Krishna. And afterwards I asked which language it was in, Malayalam. And how did he know that? Because it's not that common nowadays that people even know about Krishna, unless they're connected with ISKCON or Gauriya Math or some similar tradition. So he told me that his grandmother had taught him. Then I asked him about his grandmother. She's still alive. He said 95 years old. We met her this morning, and that time said 94, whatever it is. She's pretty old. But of course, I was very happy to hear that he'd learned this from his grandmother. But then he told me something which really struck me. He said to us that every morning she sits for 1.5 to 2 hours and sings from memory verses from Srimad Bhagavatam and Narayaniyam, that's very popular here in Kerala, a work about Krishna based on Srimad Bhagavatam and various songs about Krishna. Every morning and every evening, she sits and sings from memory without fail. But he also told me, and this is what really struck me, is that she's in age, old age, she's forgetting so many other things. Sometimes she forgets who her grandchildren are. She's seen two of her sons pass away, including Vivek's father. So sometimes she forgets all kinds of things, which is not unusual at such an age. But she doesn't forget the songs about Krishna. And whatever else she does or doesn't do, every morning and every evening she'll be sitting without anyone else, no one to prompt her, no one to tell her to do so, and just be completely absorbed in Krishna. So that very much struck me, that practice she'd had throughout her life of chanting about Krishna that has remained with her. So this morning I met her, and through Vivek, because she doesn't speak any language that I speak, she said, well, she learned it from her grandmother and then Vivek's daughter's there also. She's how old? About 8 years old, something like that. And then I said, well, I told Vivek, you have to teach this girl also, because nowadays that culture is almost broken down. The children will go to school and they'll learn English nursery rhymes and all kinds of things, but they may not learn about, in the school they're not going to learn about Krishna, mostly. The schools, they don't want to teach such things. The government schools, it's forbidden altogether to teach about Krishna. And we wonder why they made this big fuss about getting independence from the British. You'd think it would be to perpetuate their own culture, but they've banned their own culture. Oh, what a terrible, horrible situation. But still, despite this war on traditional culture in India by Indians, which has been going on since independence, or even before that, political independence, there's still some culture is going on, and some people are still trying to preserve that nowadays, although it's largely breaking down. Anyway, that point that she remembered Krishna Everything, other memories are going away. Well, in one sense, that's good, isn't it? That's our aim in life, is to remember Krishna and nothing else. There's no harm to remember family members if we remember them in relation to Krishna. But really, the aim of life is, as I quoted when talking with her this morning, we learned from Srimad Bhagavatam, that janmalabha para pungsa ante narayana smritihi. At the end of life, if we can remember Krishna, that's the real perfection of life. Everything we do is to be tested at the time of death. Srila Prabhupada sometimes quoted a Bengali saying that bhajan kara, shadankara, marte janle hai. At the time of death, we will know, we'll find out what has been the effect of our bhajana and our sadhana. And then, of course, it's never in vain, whatever we do. But we can just consider what is our situation, that we're taking to Krishna consciousness seriously in this life. Strongly indicates that we did so in a previous life also. But it further indicates that we didn't finish up the job. That's why we had to come back again. We took to Krishna consciousness, and we took to it seriously enough that we are taking to Krishna consciousness seriously again in this life, which is not such a very common thing. But we didn't finish it in the last lifetime. That means we didn't think of Narayana at the time of death, or we didn't exclusively focus on him, or we made some offense which caused us to come back, or we remained attached to material things, and therefore we had to take birth again. We're lucky to have this opportunity, because Kali Yuga is getting worse and worse and worse. And as Srila Prabhupada once said, considering this situation in Kali Yuga, he said, don't come back. Don't come back. The situation in Kali Yuga is getting so bad, worse and worse and worse. Get back this time. Now's the chance. Just like we're drowning in the ocean, someone throws a life, what do they call that, a life buoy? Or someone throws a rope. You don't think, well, I'm busy, I've got to pick my nose now, so I won't hold on to the rope. Oh, Hare Krishna. Next time I'll take a hold of the rope, but there may not be a next time. Of course, in Krishna consciousness there is always hope, but we may have to go through many, 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 many lifetimes. There's a story told in Buddhism, more than in Krishna consciousness, but I first learned it shortly after joining the ISKCON temple in London in 1975. This story is told, and Buddhism, it mostly came from Vedic culture anyway, but it's relevant also, that you just imagine in the vast ocean, there is one log of wood with one hole in it. Sometimes you see a hole in the wood where the knot is there. The knot means there's a branch in the tree, and where you cut, there becomes a knot there, and that easily falls out, that knot of wood. So there's a plank of water in a vast ocean, and there's a hole in that, and there's a turtle living at the bottom of the ocean, and once in every day of Brahma, he comes up for a breath of air, and his head is just big enough to go through that hole in the plank of wood. So the chances of getting a human birth are like the chances of the turtle coming up only once in a day of Brahma and putting his head just in that hole in the plank of wood. So it's just to illustrate the point that durlabha manava janma, human life is very, very rarely attained. So we should do whatever we have to do to become fully Krishna conscious in this life. So that we don't get born again and we go to Krishna. And the prime means of doing that, especially in Kali Yuga, is hearing and chanting about Krishna and chanting the names of Krishna. We all know very well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nasceva, 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 Gatiryam Nita. In this Kali Yuga, there's no other means, no other means, no other means to attain the ultimate goal than to chant the name of Hari, chant the name of Hari, chant the name of Hari. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came that, he personally practiced that, apane achare prabhu jibere shikai. By personally practicing devotional service, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught devotional service. And he personally chanted the holy names, both as japa and as kirtan. And that culture is very, very strong, especially in Bengal, but throughout India. The culture of chanting the names, chanting the holy names of Krishna. I was recently reading a book about religious movements in Bengal that would be around, about 100 years ago, in that time period. And almost all of them, they emphasize the chanting of the holy names. Some of them were Vaishnava movements, some of them were pseudo-Vaishnava movements, and some of them weren't even pretending to be Vaishnava movements, but they all emphasize that. It's so deep in the Bengali Hindu consciousness, and from what I've seen in Bengalis, even among Muslims, many of them, they chant in the Christians. In Bengal, they'll go with mridangas and do Harinam Sankirtan or Jizu Nam Sankirtan in the streets. It's so much part of the culture. So chanting the holy names is the prime means. And if you go, and that doesn't have to be in temples only. It can and should be in homes also. And but it's not, of course, only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. This the Ramcharitmanas, it's also very much emphasized, chanting the names of Lord Ram. And here in South India, it's very well known. Especially here in Kerala, it's very well known, the Maha Mantra, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. From our point of view, they chant it backwards. From their point of view, we chant it backwards. But it's not really backwards or forwards, because whether you chant Rama first or Krishna first, it's the Maha Mantra. So that culture is very much there, but it's under severe attack. There's a lot of concern among committed Hindus throughout India, and especially here in South India, Hindus are converting to Christianity and Islam, but more than that, Hindus are becoming non-Hindus by just becoming completely impervious to their own culture and materialistic. And they don't know, they don't chant the holy names of Krishna. They don't, just like I often give the example in Tamil Nadu, that if we say in Tamil Nadu, if we say the name Ramanuja, people mostly think of the mathematician of that name rather than the, it's difficult to say, but we should be a little cautious, but I think we can still say confidently the greatest spiritual figure in the history of the Tamil people. Of course, he himself would pay respect to the Alva, so we have to be a little careful in saying this, but massive, towering figure in the history of Tamil culture. And then they don't know. People don't know. No one teaches them. They may teach in the school about Ramanuja and the mathematician, but not about Ramanuja, the great devotional acharya. So that culture is passed down traditionally in the homes. In the homes, in the schools, in the temples, in the, in the homes, it's very important. The culture that Arjuna was very afraid of, when he refused to fight, he said that if Strishu Dushtashu Varshaya Jayate Varna Sankaraha. He said if the women become polluted, then bad population will come forth. So Arjuna, even at that time, he recognized that women, they have such a major role in preserving and transmitting the culture. And there's a prime example of how you, in your childhood, learned from your grandmother. She learned from her grandmother, and she's, whatever else she may forget, she's not forgetting Krishna. So that's Krishna's kindness, that he keeps himself in her mind. Neuropsychologists, they may say, well, this part of the brain deteriorates and this and that, and this neuron this and that neuron that, and give some neuropsychological explanation, which may be true from one perspective, but we understand that behind all the laws of the universe, there's the great lawmaker, Maya Dhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Krishna oversees everything. So the fact that she remembers Krishna is a great blessing from Krishna. Krishna becomes very pleased when people chant his holy names. And she has this practice of doing so. So there's something for all of us to take inspiration from. That at the end of life, we have to remember Krishna. And what's the means to remember Krishna, to attain Krishna? This came up in the, we'll find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sanatana Goswami at one point wanted to commit suicide, which is a very wrong thing to do. But he thought, if I fall under the wheel of Jagannath's cart, then it'll be okay, because Jagannath Puri is an auspicious place. And to die under the wheel of Jagannath's cart, that will be very auspicious. So it won't be sinful. Because he thought, I couldn't serve Krishna properly. So in this way, I'm not using this life properly, so let me just give it up and attain Krishna like that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though Sanatana hadn't told anyone of his plan, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood his plan and said, Sanatana, if I could attain Krishna by committing suicide, I'd be prepared to commit suicide 1,000 times and 1,000,000 times. But Krishna is not attained by suicide. Krishna is attained by hearing and chanting about him. So that practice to hear and chant about Krishna, whatever else is going on. In this world, so many things go on. So many situations arise in our life. Different crises and different important things going on. Different hopes and different sorrows, different triumphs and different defeats. And our life goes on. But really, the only thing that matters and the thing we have to remember at the time of death is Krishna. So this practice, sadhana, this practice of regularly hearing and chanting about Krishna, that means that this will go into our consciousness. So many things may stand out in our consciousness if we think in our lives of all the things that have happened, all the things that we may hope will happen in future. There may be so many things in our consciousness, but this practice of daily hearing and chanting about Krishna, that should be the main impression in our life, so that we can think of Krishna, remember Krishna, just keep on going. The body's not going to keep on going. The body is always in decline. As people often tell me, it's my birthday today. People come and tell me it's my birthday. I tell them, it's your death day. It's a nasty thing to say, isn't it? And people come, oh, it's my birthday, it's your death day. Every day we're dying. Every day We become closer to death with every rising and setting of the sun. How does that verse begin? I asked you the other day. Udyanastan chayanaso. How does that begin? I forgot the first line again. Udyan means rising. Astan. Ayur harati. Stealing our life. Ayur harati. Vaipum sam. Udyan astan chayanaso. Tasyate yakshano nita. Uttama shloka vartaya. With every rising of the sun and every setting of the sun, our life is being taken away. Tick, 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 tick. Every moment we're moving closer to death. But those who hear about Krishna, for them we're not on death row. Have you heard this term, death row? It means someone who's condemned to death, and they're sitting in the prison just waiting for the time of execution. They may be called at any time. Okay, number, blah, 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 blah. It's your time now. Time to be taken out and hanged or shot. Usually they do it early in the morning. Early in the morning is the time for sadhana. So we're all on death row. As sure as death. Jatasya hi dhruvang mrityu. For everyone who's born, death is certain. But for one who engages in uttama shloka varta, this verse says, topics of Krishna, who is praised in the best verses, then such a person, he's not on death row. He's waiting for Krishna to pick him up and take him back to God. He's one who's surrendered to Krishna, he's in the lap of Krishna. Otherwise, we're in the lap of Maya. Jeev jago, gaura chanda bole koto nidra jao maya pishachira kole. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is calling, get up, sleeping souls. How long will you sleep on the lap of the witch called Maya? But if we're in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada said, living in Vrindavan is like living on the lap of Krishna. Just like the child is on the lap and is protected. So if we're on the lap of Krishna, then we're protected. If we're on the lap of a witch, it's very dangerous. She's just keeping us to swallow us. Just like people keep some chicken, and the chicken's running around in the courtyard and thinking, everything nice, every day I get thrown some grains to eat, and one day when he's fat enough, the person who's keeping him cuts his throat. So we're all on death row. But if we chant the name of Krishna, there's nothing to fear. We're sheltered by Krishna. So this practice, Krishna is so kind, he really wants to help everyone who chants his holy name. So we should make that a practice. We have many things to do in our lives and many things to do in serving Krishna in various ways, but we should make this a daily practice in our life to chant the names of Krishna morning, evening, and then parents to impart that to their children. Guru na sasyat, swajana na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat, daivang datatsyan na patischa satsyan, namo chedya samupita mrityam. One should not become a guru. He says, guru na, don't become a guru. Don't become a guru. Don't become a guru. If you can't deliver your disciples from birth and death. Don't become a father, mother, teacher, friend. Don't accept worship from anyone unless you can deliver them from birth and death. So the traditional means to do that is to the parents and the grandparents, they teach the children about Krishna teaching as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did by example. They themselves also chant the names of Krishna, and this way, pass it on to them. At least do the best we can to impart that to others. So you're very fortunate to have a grandmother who's absorbed in thought of Krishna. That's the best thing she can give you. Previously, she must have been feeding you idlis and all nice things. She's too old to cook now, I think, is it? So, that's very nice, but the best thing she's given you is feeling for Krishna. So, now you got that, now you have to go on cultivating it throughout life and give it to your children. Right now it's just one child, huh? So that's something inspiring to see still there are such people. But it shouldn't just be the old people, it should be the young people also. Young people take up Krishna consciousness very seriously. Yesterday I was speaking with Ved Narayana Prabhu, who's there in the deep south of Tamil Nadu and left his well-paying job in America to come back and preach Krishna consciousness in his home area. And he was saying that his second son has, both of them, especially the second one, is really strongly getting into kirtan and likes to go to all the satsangas they have, every day they have, morning and evening. Morning in the town, that's Trichendur, and then in the evening, sometimes in Trichendra or other places around about there. So his second son especially likes, first son's more absorbed in studies nowadays, but the second son especially is very much relishing kirtan and getting into it more and more. And that I always say for our gurukuls, I told Chitrahari and the others that in the gurukul we're teaching them, teaching the boys so many things, but the main thing, they have to come out with a taste for Krishna consciousness, especially chanting the holy names. And in the Gurukul that you were in, I think that he's achieved that with the first batch. You were in the first batch, right? That all the boys who are in there, they like to chant Hare Krishna. So that will stay with you throughout life. So go on chanting and give that to others also. Whatever we get, any good thing we get, we have to share that with others. We should not be a miser. It's our duty to share it with others. So the best thing we've got is Krishna consciousness. So we should share that. Just as your grandmother, she got it from her grandmother. So you've got it. No, you cultivate it more and share it with others. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process. When he met one, or he stayed in the house of one married Brahmana, just as he entered South India, he met one, he stayed in the house of one married Brahmana, who wanted to leave his home and travel with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, you stay here. And Jare Deko Tare Koha Krishna Upadesh Amar Agyai Guru Hoya Taro Edesh. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, you just stay here in your home life and you take up Krishna consciousness, and whatever you've learned, you pass it on to others, and this way you teach others and become a guru to others. So we often hear that the mother is the first guru. So in the case of your grandmother, she was to you. And then others should be there also, just like Srila Prabhupada said, that practically everything he learned about Krishna consciousness, he learned it at home from his father, who was a pure devotee of Krishna. But then that was solidified by his Diksha Guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And also he got from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur the idea of preaching and spreading that to others. Otherwise, the basic practices, he got that at home. But of course, then the commitment to chant daily on beads and the inspiration to study Shastra, to preach, he got from his Diksha Guru. So, and that's a very good start if we have it at home. As Srila Prabhupada writes in one of his purports that there are two conditions which are very favorable for becoming a pure devotee. One is to have devotee parents, pure devotee parents, and another is to have a bona fide spiritual master. So give the children a good start. They used, way back in the 1970s, on the back of the Back to Godhead magazine, there was a photo of a baby's face from the side view it was given, and then facing, just nose to nose, a young man's face. So it looks like the father and the baby, and I can't remember exactly the wording, but it said, "What are you going to teach your children about the meaning of life?" Heavy question, huh? And then take this Bhagavad Gita as it is. You have to know this and teach this. So some different lessons we can learn from this. One is about the culture, parampara, succession, one to another, passed down in this. Well, we say disciplic succession, but maybe family succession also. And we learn also how we have to make a habit of daily applying ourselves to chanting the names of Krishna with feeling. So it goes so deep into our heart that we cannot forget it. We don't want to forget it, and it remains there even if everything else goes away. The memory of everything else may fade away, but we don't forget Krishna. Hare Krishna. So you just came in halfway through the talk. I just opened it up by saying how I got some inspiration when you told me about your grandmother, and then she came this morning. And even though she was talking and I couldn't understand what she was saying, but I could understand from the few Sanskrit words which were there in her talking that she was saying more or less the same thing over and over again. But there's no harm, because she was saying that we're in the samsara and it's in the material family life, and it's our great fortune, bhagyam and santosham, our great happiness to have the darshan of a devotee and like this. So she's got the good training like that. It's remained with her throughout life. So the talk this evening was based on that, yeah. So, Hare Krishna.